Hey, you're listening to the Musings of a Tired Nigerian Girl Book Club. Let's get into it.
They will ask me when I first knew I was in love with you. I'll sigh and say I don't know. It happened in fragments, piece by piece, separate moments over the years. Moments. That's how I remember it. They will be surprised when I say, you're the only man I haven't loved. I hear that familiar whistle from my teens and I know it's you. I smile and my legs pull me past my parents' suspicious looks out to the balcony. You're downstairs on the street looking up at me with your smile still cheeky. I haven't seen you in almost 2 years since the last time I was in Port Harcourt. I make a show of folding my arms. Hey, I say, you still can't be whistling to me. Don't you have a phone? Next time I whistle, you better come out fast. We too. So because you're now riding Okada, you think you can talk to me anyhow? Bush woman, this is not an Okada. It parts the black and silver motorcycle you're sitting astride on. This is a Triumph Thunderbolt. Your mates who drive cars, do they have two heads? I have a car, or rather a van, but I use it to deliver eggs from my farm. It's either that or this, choose one. I'm not choosing any. Let's go. Lunch. There's this book on Station Road. I promise you'll sell your soul for the fisherman's soup. You want to take me to a booker on an Okada? You can't be serious. Your mates who eat in bookers and ride Okadas, do they have two heads? You look at your wrist, which doesn't have a watch. You're wasting time. Come up and greet my parents while I think about it. You smile, still using Miyagi. But you get off the motorcycle. I'll use you more in the next few days, besides you enjoy it. Beg me first. You die of old age if you're waiting for me to beg. You sigh and get back on your motorcycle. You stare at each other till I say, okay, you win. I beg now. How long are you in town for? Till a week from today, Monday after the wedding. You know why my immediate younger sister was getting married on Saturday. You're coming, right? Of course, I add, and for Thanksgiving on Sunday too. You nod, thanks. We'd gone by taxi. The booker had still almost emptied out from the lunchtime crowd by the time we arrived. It was almost clean, though, meaning we didn't have to swap flies from sharing our food. The fisherman's soup was good, but I'd had better, and I told you so. After eating, we sit back on the wooden benches, waiting for you to finish your cooker. I take sips from your glass. Beer is almost flat and I don't enjoy it, but I keep sipping. My mother was cool to you today. You chuckle. She saw me with a girl the other day on my bike. She's been carrying fits for me since then. She tilts the glass as she pours the last of the beer from the bottle. I don't blame her, sure. She thinks we've been dating for 2 years. I've not shown any intention to marry you and I'm carrying girls all over town. After Noah's wedding, I'd be the only one among four sisters in my family who wasn't married. And at 35, I'm the oldest. It was a prayer point for my mother and the start point of many of our battles. I sip more beer. I'm sorry, that's how she is. After this wedding, perhaps you should stop acting like we're dating. I only do it when I'm in Port Harcourt. I add, I'm sorry this is cramping your style with your girlfriend. You're not sorry and she's not my girlfriend. Who is she? You shrug. We met each other's needs. You know how these things are. She's not important. Wait, are you jealous? You're jealous? No. You wish. Your smile says you don't believe me. I point at you. It's you who is jealous. Me. Jealous of who? Femi. Yes, you've always been jealous of Femi. His money? Yes. Him? No. How are you and Femi, Seth? I pause before I answer. We're fine. How many years have you guys? You watched Trail of, but I know what you're asking. We've been together for 4 years. Thank you very much. I hear the irritation in my voice. You raise your glass to your lips, but before you drink, you caught me with still believe that he's about to leave his wife. You drink. I don't answer. You leave some beer in the glass and signal ask if I want it. I shake my head. I'm sorry. You say you're not sorry. You're right. I'm not. We never quite happened, but everyone assumed we did, even from when we were teens. Although we both grew up in D Lane and saw each other around the neighborhood, we first met in 97. You were 19 in uni, I was 17, about to get in. Your father's bakery was down the road from our house, though your family lived on the next street. You worked at the bakery evenings and holidays, sometimes over the counter where you handed out soft, warm loaves and shy smiles. You stopped smiling when your father died. He was a well-liked man, and the neighborhood pulled together for your mom. That was when my mother and your mom became close, and when she brought me along, you know, one of her many visits, you and I first talked. It was nothing, just awkward commiseration and silence. Then on a balmy day in July, I accompanied my mother to your father's funeral in Omoku, and I remember being struck by how you, the last child, stayed deadpan, while your mom and siblings wailed and trashed as they lowered the casket. Weeks later, my mother sent me to drop off a big cooler of jollof rice at your house. I walked into what looked like a meeting in the living room involving your mom, elder brothers, and some older men. As you helped me take the cooler to the kitchen, you quickly wiped off a tear, but I'd seen it. You were as surprised as I was when I asked you to walk me back home. Till today, I don't know what pushed those words out of my mouth. All I knew was that I could sense that you needed to be somewhere else at that moment. Rather than go to my house, we ended up strolling through more of half of D Lane, crisscrossing the railway line, twice at the Food Garden Market, and at the Bolle and Fish stalls at Abudama Street, and even headed up as far as the close on Odom Street and U-turning in front of Hotel Chesseres. Somewhere on that walk, you told me about how your uncles were demanding ownership of the bakery from your mom. I talked of my parents' unhappy marriage, how I eavesdrop on my mother when she goes to cry in the bathroom, and how I didn't get along with any of them. You didn't talk about your father. I didn't talk about Victor, my boyfriend at the time. But Victor's friend sat seeing us walking. Later, he was with two of them when he asked me about it. I said it was nothing. He said I was lying. He said that I was perambulating around dealing with you and embarrassing him. I said he was overreacting. I even apologized. Then he slapped me. I was used to my father beating my mother. He did that almost with a nonchalance that came from regular practice and confidence in her perpetual surrender. But I'm not my mother. I slapped Victor so hard my wrist almost snapped and the pain bolted up my arm. By the time his friends succeeded in pulling me off him, my face was bloodied, my top torn, and my ears wrung with a shower, which was what he'd been screaming at me. The beating didn't hurt as much as the stories which I heard afterwards. I heard I slept with Victor, then with three of his friends, then with you, then with every man who winked at me. Some of the stories had specific details, places, dates. One even had the color of my panties. I don't know how, but somehow the stories found my parents' ears one day. That evening, my father's tirade lashed me till I read message and answered back. That was the first time he told me to leave his house. You didn't seem surprised when I turned up at your room at the BQ behind your parents' house that night. You didn't ask why I was there, and I wasn't in the mood to talk. I flipped through your photo album, books, and music collection. You played your homemade CDs, Smokey, U2, Bon Jovi, Oasis, turning me to rock for the first time. You got me dinner, fluffy bread, blueband margarine, and thick sweetened Milo. I smiled because you dipped your bread in the cocoa before eating. You convinced me to try it when you joked that it was more than comfort food. It was also one of the secrets to happiness. You watched me do it, and the expression on my face confirmed you were right. You laughed. It was the first time I heard the infectious rumble. It pressed the chuckle from me, and the simple magic of everything flipped my mood. I told you everything. You didn't say anything for a long time. We lay on your mattress on the floor and stared unabashedly at each other. I was soothing. It was intimate. Inevitably, still in silence, we cozied up till I rested my head on your chest, feeling your heart pound as you stroked my hair. Looking back, I wish I had bottled that piece of that moment and carried it through my life. We were still in each other's arms when your mom, without knocking, pushed open the door. My mom was behind her. I trudged home in silence besides my mother. She didn't speak to me till the next morning when she banned me from talking to you. I managed to obey for only 1 month. I wish I rebelled sooner. Years later, we would talk about that night and play out what might have been. We agreed that we would have made love, and you told me that you'd wanted to, but you were reluctant to make a move when I was vulnerable. I don't tell you that I'd hoped you'd be my first, and I still wish you were. My first was Victor, who came to apologize the next day, and every day for almost 2 weeks. I blanked him until the day someone told me about Osa, your then girlfriend. I didn't tell you that I'd cried, snuck to Victor's house, took off my clothes mechanically, and lay zombied on his bed. I tell you, I wished you told me about Osa that night. You tell me that you would have mentioned her, but our mothers came in. You also tell me that you'd organized for some guys to beat up Victor, but you called it off when you realized we were dating again. I shrug and don't tell you that I wish you hadn't called it off. But I tell you that anytime I get blue, I eat bread dipped in Milo and it makes everything better. They will ask me how often I told you I love you, and I will sigh and say I don't recall ever saying it, but you knew. You knew those times when you'd look up and catch me watching you, and I'd refuse to look away. You knew in your darkest days when you missed your father, when your uncles took over the bakery and ran it down, when your family's money ran out and you didn't have a job, when the depression smothered you and you wished for death to end it all. You came to me to hold you till some light pierced through. You knew on those nights when I called you after Femi had gone home to his wife, after I'd cried my tears and you made me laugh and talked to me sleep and lied that everything would be okay. You were cutting my hair when you proposed. It was Thursday before Noah's church wedding. On Monday after the Buka visit, you finally convinced me to get on your motorcycle and we rode. You weaving through traffic, me shrieking part of the way to your farm in Iguruanta. There I watched, fascinated by the encouraging sight of you, guy man, walking through the poultry house, feeding fish in tanks and calling the king Boga. At the outdoor pig pen, between brief meetings with your co-workers, you talked about how after years of successfully looking for a job, you became an accidental farmer, starting small with a tiny poultry behind your mom's house. You beamed as you talked about how well the farm was doing, how surprised you were that you were enjoying running it, and how you seemed to have found your place in the world. I told you you looked like you were finally at peace with yourself. Your smile was shy, and for a second, I caught a glimpse of the boy from the bakery, and my heart was suddenly full because I'd never loved you so much as I did at that moment. The ride back to the city that night wasn't as hairy, and when you dropped me off at my parents' house, just like old times, you walked me to my door and kissed me easily. I wanted you not to kiss me that casually, as if the last time we kissed was 10 minutes before, not 3 years, 5 months, and 2 days ago. You asked if I was really counting. I told you to stop being silly. You laughed and we kissed properly till I accidentally leaned on the doorbell. The next day, I went with my family to Bori for Noah's traditional wedding, which was scheduled for Wednesday. You came with your mom to Bori for the ceremony and rolled your eyes as she bear hugged me and made you take pictures. As we pouted and posed, as a pretend boyfriend, you were perfect. Spending as much time with me as possible, and even briefly sitting under a canopy with my brother-in-law, the husbands of my two younger sisters, where you smirked and made faces at me. When I returned on Thursday, I went to your flat at Stadium Road, famished. We didn't make it to your bedroom. We tore at each other's clothes, but gave up midway and merged, half-dressed on your living room wall. As your face headed down between my legs, as always, we paused for a moment and chuckled because we remembered. The first time you ate me, my first time ever, I farted uncontrollably through a long orgasm. And you rolled off and laughed till I joined in. Thursday was kisses, bites, words, trust, and screams. Frenzied mauling because there was no tomorrow. Liquid electric coursed through every cell, jolted my body alive, but felt good for my spirits like a homecoming. Eventually, we collapsed to the floor beside your door. After we stumbled to your room where we drank wine, cuddled, and ripped each other. Then we did it again, slower, bodies rhyming gently because of scarred souls. Then we napped. Different sides of the bed because I disliked being cuddled when I slept. Woke and talked. It was when you touched my head that I realized my wig had fallen off. I developed alopecia when I turned 19. By 20, I'd lost almost all my hair apart from ugly patches, which were so irregular and sparse I couldn't even wear weaves. You went with me to buy wigs, helped me choose, and deliberately cracked your funniest jokes when I cried so I'd get annoyed enough to hit you and stop crying. Then you started cutting my hair regularly, bald in my head, and when I got confident enough, you accompanied me to the barbershop. At the time, you were still dating Osa. I'd not moved on from Victor, and technically, we hadn't yet crossed that line, but our just friend's stake didn't fool anyone. Ran your hand through my thoughts, I said, so you're waiting for me to ask you to cut my hair, B? I've stopped cutting hair for free, especially from a grateful woman. Sorry, cut it first, I'll post treating gratitude later. You shook your head and sighed like you always did when you had no comeback, and that was how I ended up sitting in your bathroom, naked except for the barber's cape over me, watching in the big mirror while you cut my hair with your electric clippers. We said at each other in the mirror, Sarah, yes, I'm tired. You just started cutting. No, I'm tired of being your friend and occasional fuckbuddy. Correction, best friend and my one who got away. For the record, I never went away. You know what I mean, our timings are always wrong. I'll be available, you'll be dating someone, vice versa. I keep telling you, it's like we aren't fated to be. Nonsense, we were together once, yes, but that was just for 3 weeks before I moved to Lagos. Best 2 weeks of my life. Me too. I wish you didn't move. Why didn't you ask me not to? Come on now, since I knew you always wanted to leave home. Remember those times you talked about running away and I yabbed you because running away only works in Oyibo movies. And you finished school, finished NYC, got this dream job. I didn't even have a job. We knew we weren't built for long distance crap. Your shoulders slumped. Another correction, I wanted to leave home, leave this city, not only because all that shit with Victor messed up my reputation, and I mimicked your voice and did air quotes. For the record, you didn't ask. I shrugged. You stopped and flicked the clipper off as the realization hit you. You would have stayed if I asked. For someone who knows me as well as you do, you ask silly questions sometimes. So you're tired of being my friend. What are you really trying to say? That we should stop talking, because let me warn you, it won't work. Now you're being the silly one. You flopped hair off my head with a duster, leaned forward from behind and kissed my scalp. You held my eyes in the mirror. I want more. I want everything. Marry me, Sarah. They will ask me why I said no, and I will sigh and say exactly what I told you. Because I wasn't a child anymore, and because I knew love alone was never enough in this life. You said you didn't understand. I explained that we'd both moved on. I was in Lagos, about to be announced as partner in the law firm, which I worked in for years. You were in Port Harcourt running a growing farm business, which required your presence. I told you I didn't want to give up my life and move back to Port Harcourt, that I would eventually resent you if I did. I told you I wouldn't forgive myself if you gave up your life and all you'd worked for me. You said you would work out something. I told you not to be naive. Then you said I sounded materialistic. There was an unspoken undercurrent to that statement. Years ago, you joked that I was with Femi because he was rich. And I felt this statement was a continuation of that jibe. So I told you to fuck off and I left your flat and I refused to see you on Friday. And I was called to your Junior's wedding on Saturday as well and at the Thanksgiving on Sunday. And I refused to answer your calls or reply your messages. And before I left on Monday morning, I told my mother the truth about us, about Femi, about Victor, about my relationship with her. Her face was inscrutable when I finished talking and remained so when she held me. Suddenly, woodenly, because it had been years since we hugged and we'd forgotten how. Then, voice strong and lifted, she said a long, lyrical, heartfelt prayer for me in Kana. Not English, because Nigerian mothers don't apologize in conventional ways. Hey, good morning. Hey, stranger. Behave, it's just 10 days. Feels like 10 years. So I need to talk to you right now. You think you can walk out of my life and walk in anytime you like, Abby? I know I can. You chuckle, okay? So they just made me partner, signed the partnership agreement 10 minutes ago, form announcements and notices to clients tomorrow, party on Saturday. Yay, congratulations. I shrugged. Thanks. Are you okay? I don't know what to feel. I slaved for this for years. I've finally gotten it. And honestly, it feels a bit empty. Like, is this all? Is this life? Right now, I'm making this call from the toilet in my office because I can't stand the people congratulating me. Is this normal? Are you sure it's not PMS that is doing you? No, I just finished my period. I'm gone, call. I just had breakfast. Okay. Try not to worry too much. These things happen. You probably feel better later. Are you sure? No, I'm just saying this shit because it sounds nice. Thanks for nothing, but I was smiling into my phone. You're welcome. I'm sorry, Sarah. I know, I'm sorry too. I overreacted. You think? Don't push it. So I've got news. I found a guy. What guy? I found a guy who's going to manage my farm and the workers when I'm away. Trustworthy guy. All his references check out. People say only good things about him. Why do you want someone to manage your farm? So I can move to Lagos. I'll call him every day, double check everything he does with my customers, and go to Portugal twice or thrice a month to see how things are. I also plan to buy land in Lagos for another farm. There was silence for a while. Sarah, I was serious when I said we can make this work. I'm willing to do what it takes. I felt the bird's wings beating furiously where my heart used to be. Sarah, yes, say something. Like I said, my firm's throwing a party on Saturday for me here in Lagos. Are you coming? Only if you ask nicely. I need you, please. That's shameless emotional blackmail, but it works. I'll be there. Thanks. You can stay at my place. You don't have to go to a hotel. Sure. And in case you were wondering, I broke up with Femi last week. It was a long time before you spoke. Why? How? It was the right time. I'll give you the details when we see. Okay. Cool. I've got to go now. Okay, talk soon. Wait. Till today, I don't know what made me tell you then, because I planned to wait till I saw you, but looking back, I'm glad I did. Caldini? Yes? Yes. Yes, what? Yes, I'll marry you, Caldini. You're welcome. You don't come to Lagos. The party was cancelled. Later that day, as you rode from your farm, a commuter bus, which was parked at the curb, swung suddenly into the road without the driver indicating. It slapped your motorcycle off its course and it careened into the concrete median strip that divided the road. But the force flung you over to the other lane where your body was quickly mangled by oncoming traffic. Your helmet protected your head and kept you conscious long enough to call me as they sped you to the hospital. 4:17 p.m. I saw the call, but I didn't answer it because I was in a meeting. I called you after, but you didn't answer. 5:42 p.m. I got a call from your phone. 6:33 p.m. I answer it. Hey, baby. Sarah, it's me, oh. It was your mom. As soon as I heard her voice, the crack in it, I knew. Hello, ma. Where's Caldini? My daughter, I hope you're sitting down. Yes, ma. Sarah, my baby, he's dead. 2 years later, they don't ask me why I resigned from my job. Or why I walk around without my wigs. They don't ask me why I moved back to Port Harcourt, to your apartment. Piled your clothes on the bed and lay in them for days. They don't talk about the time where I fought my mother and sisters and your mom when they came to drag me off the bed to give me a bath and wash your clothes and your scent off them. They don't talk about my display at your funeral where I flung myself at your casket. They don't ask me why I became an insomniac or why for weeks the only thing I ate was bread dipped in Milo. They don't talk about why I'm in therapy. Gradually, they've learned that I liked it when they talked about you, so they do. They ask questions about everything, about how we met, how I first knew I was in love with you, how often I told you, how you proposed. Today, they even asked me why I love you, and I sighed and said, because even though we weren't meant to be, you were always home to me.